way. Time for you to get down on your knees. I pray you can say goodbye to the good old days. They're never coming back. Watch a few more days.
Everybody, what's happening? Welcome to Plum Love Foods Live. I'm your host, Moe. That's right, Big Chef Plum, sitting right here, down here in the basement. I got two candles burning. My hickory hearth candle is still rocking and rolling, smelling that sandalwood and vanilla. I don't know, it's a mixture of many, many things. I'm not sure. I got a red one going to it. That kind of smells like cherry. Kind of smells like burnt cherry pork chop. But I don't know, that's a good thing to me. I love that. That sounds delicious. As I sit down here at the bar, having myself a little cocktail, getting ready to do a great show tonight, man. Looking forward to it. We got Chef Chad Minton stopping by tonight. You got Chef Chad Minton to come by from True Cooks. We're going to talk a lot about what's going on with True Cooks, some big things happening over there. And, of course, you know, we haven't quite done. You guys had to do one of those year-in-review type shows, one of those scenarios earlier in the month, but I haven't had a chance to do it yet. We've had so many guests on the show, so I thought maybe Chad and I would go over some of the most horrendous. That's right, the most horrendous trends from last year. So hopefully we can not make the same mistake this year. That's what I want to do. I don't want to make a mistake about it. And of course, I got to tell you all about this week, this Friday, guys. There's an event. Long story short, this event I'm very truly humbled to be a part of. It's a huge event that happens here where I live. It's called the Sun, Wine, and Food Festival. Here at Mohegan Sun. What a great event, man. What a fun event. And I got to ask you to be a part of it this year. I'm very excited to be there. You know, it feels like I've only been working on it for fucking 10 years now to be a part of it. Whatever. I'm there. It's awesome. We're going to have a great time. But, you know, they actually sponsored the television show, Restaurant Road Trip. So one of the fun things about it this year is that part of that deal includes doing this very program right here live from the event. So we're going to be doing that. That's happening this Friday night. Now, I know, listen, Friday night's not a great time for Chef, because that's totally good to do, I know. But what I can tell you is that it does go on iTunes. You can check it out there after the fact and whatnot. But listen, it's going to be a great event, man. I'm looking forward to it. And honestly, it's awesome. That's all it is to it, man. It's just awesome. And I'm excited to be there and be a part of it. So one of the fun things we've got is that we're going to be hanging out there, a two-hour event where we're going to be having all chefs. There's so many chefs that are going to be at the event, you guys. Confirmed that are going to drop by the show and hang with us. They're going to be, of course, our friend Michelle Regustis. She's fantastic. She's going to come by and say what's up. Chef Brian Duffy is going to come by. He is from Bar Rescue. Great chef, funny guy. He's going to come by and say what's up. And there's a host, like a shit ton more. And I just wasted confirmation on a bunch of people. But they're going to come by and say what's up, so we can hang out. And the whole show that has been brought to you by our good friends over at Citrus Island and Lemonade. Our friend Chaney from this with us for the night. And I got a co-host. Got nice. Do you believe that? I'm going to have a co-host in that program. It's kind of crazy that I have a co-host. I don't do co-hosts. I do solo gigs. That's what I do. I'm a one-man show. I'm a one-act show. I don't need co-hosts. What the fuck are we talking about here? But I'm joking, of course. I'm very, very excited and happy to have the guy with me. You got a lot of you guys know him here on Instagram. Great dude. Really, really sweetheart of a guy. He's going to be coming down. He's doing the entire event with me because he's doing a pair of hands. But we just happened to be doing the radio show there, too. And, of course, ladies and gentlemen, Mr. Dave Borden is going to be there with us hanging out. Dave is on the phone with me right now. Dave, what's up, brother? How are you?
Hey, what's going on, bro?
You know, man, sitting here, got myself a cocktail, some candles lit, and I'm ready to rock and roll. I still got a little Christmas tree down here in this basement, but I don't give a shit. I think it looks good.
Nice.
getting fired up for this weekend, brother. That's what I am. I'm excited you're coming down. I'm going to be a part of it. I can't wait to meet you in person. We're going to make a badass dish. But more importantly, we're going to have a fun night Friday night, man. The two-hour Plum Love Foods Chef-tacular is going to be there. And my friend, you are co-hosting with me.
Oh, yeah, man. I'm excited as all hell. I can't wait, honestly. As soon as you asked me to help out, it's pretty much been excitement building every day we get closer to it.
Well, it's fun because you go to these events, man. There's some pretty awesome chefs that are going to be at this event. I mean, you're talking Alex Bernicelli. You're talking Chef Plum, whoever that guy is. No, I'm kidding. Rocket Espirito is going to be there. Brian Duffy, Todd English. I mean, there's some great chefs that are going to be here. And it's just half the fun of these events is just making friends and meeting people. And you just never know what's going to happen, you know?
Oh, yeah. I'm ready for whatever happens. I'm, like I said, man, like, I don't even know what to expect, but I'm truly grateful for you inviting me out to help you on this one for sure.
Oh, hell yeah. Hey, listen, you know who else is going to be there? I probably should open with this one. Snoop Dogg. He's going to be there Saturday night, unfortunately.
Yeah.
Dude, if he was going to be there Friday night, I'd have been all over the PR people to let me have Snoop for 5 minutes.
Yeah, that would have been dope. But
we're going to try to get a picture.
At least, yeah, that'll be fun.
It should be dope, man. I'm excited about it. The dish that we're making, too, man, kind of out of the box. We're going to make 600 of these. I'm excited about that, dude. Can you explain it to him?
You want me to explain it to him? Okay. Well, it's pretty much like a pork lollipop. We have a little bit of blue cheese on the inside. And we're going to coat it and batter it. What are we going with? Which beer batter are we going? You said.
Well, they paired our dish with Killian's Irish Red, so we're going to use Killian's.
Yeah. And then we're going to do a pickled celery leaf salad. Yeah, we're going to get that pork skin. We're going to candy that up, dust it, sprinkle it on top. And then
pork pixie dust.
Yeah, pork pixie dust. That's the
oh, yeah. And we're covering the whole thing in fucking buffalo wing sauce because I love buffalo wings.
It's going to be good.
It's
going to
be
good as all.
Dude, it's going to be sick, man. I got some cool stickers made up for it. If you're going to be here, I highly recommend you get tickets to the event and come check it out. You can find them on MohicanSun.com. This event, man, I tell you, it's just the caliber of chefs that are going to be there, the amount of people that are going to be there. I mean, when you got an event where you've got someone like Snoop Dogg who's going to be there, and, of course, you've got Martha Stewart that are going to be there. And, by the way, they're doing, like, a whole demo together, like a brunch thing on Sunday morning, which is insane. I mean, that's a legit event, dude.
Definitely. As soon as you, like, started, like, giving me more I had no idea what it was until you started telling me, and then the details came more and more and more, and then I'm like, oh, man.
I know.
I was like, you didn't tell me all this, bro. I was like, okay, I'm totally down, but I'm like kind of speechless for like the excitement level that I'm feeling, you know.
Well, it's good to get into, and you know, it's a big thing too is that we're gonna make a bunch of friends here, and that's the biggest part about doing these events. Listen, I can't emphasize it enough to everybody out there, when you do big events that are, you know, collaborators with other chefs, or even when you're doing television programs or doing competitions, man. Dude, the most important thing you can do, make friends. I mean, that's what you're there for. It's not about winning. It's not about losing. It's not about anything else. Just make friends. Make those contacts because that's awesome. That's the whole point of the entire event, dude. At least
for sure. Oh, yeah, definitely. Definitely. I mean, you got to think about it. It's like the more friends you have, you know, it's like the better things can be sometimes. At least this way, everybody has like a already has a common interest, I guess is the best way to put it. So it's already bringing everybody together pretty quickly. So,
dude, it's fun. It's fucking fun. We're going to go cook food and hang out with Snoop Dogg and Martha Stewart. Are you kidding me? Like, okay.
Yeah. I mean, who the fuck could complain about that? Like, honestly, if anybody would ever like be upset about that, I'd be like, I don't want to know that person.
And, you know, our dish is pretty intense, which we're excited about. We'll do some Instagram Lives and stuff so you guys can see that stuff that's happening. And like I said, the fun part here, we're going to be live Friday night, the two-hour Plum Love Foods Chef-tacular. Already confirmed is Michelle Ragusa. She's going to be there. She was on Food Network Star. I don't know if you remember that or not. She's awesome. She's been on this program before. You remember her, Dave?
Nice.
I think you've heard the episode. And then, of course, Chef Brian Duffy from Bar Rescue is going to be on, too. Those two are confirmed. We'll have more as we move forward in the week. Just figuring out who we're going to get. I'm trying to get, if I can get Alex Garnaschelli or Todd English to stop by. That'd be dope. I think I could probably make that happen. So that's pretty cool.
Nice.
I think I should tell our Alice Garner Shelley that I got shell in my crab dish at Butter, her restaurant in the city, or no? Probably not.
What's that?
You think I should tell?
Oh, okay. probably not.
All right.
Maybe. I don't know. Maybe she want to know.
Oh, well, yeah, maybe she would. I'd want to know. Anyway, my man, right. Chef Dave, looking forward to hanging out with him. We're going to have a great time this weekend, man. I hope you're ready. It's going to get fucking crazy.
Oh, yeah, I'm actually going to get some sleep tonight and tomorrow, and because I know it's not happening this weekend, so.
There you go. Well,
totally
hey,
right.
Make sure you stay listening, stay tuned, man. We talked to Chef Chad from True Coast. They got some cool things happening over there, and talk about some of these horrendous trends that happened in 2017, and it's always a good time to have Chad stop by, so it should be a good show tonight.
Yeah, sounds good. I'm going to leave it on the Bluetooth when I'm driving home, and I'll listen to you guys as I'm getting towards the house.
There he goes. Bro, looking forward to seeing you on Thursday, brother.
Oh, yeah, I'm excited, bro. Can't wait to meet you finally in person.
There it is. All right, man, I'll talk to you soon.
All right, take it easy, bro.
Peace. There he goes. That's Chef Dave Borda. You can find him on Instagram, Dave Borda. What a great guy, man. A guy I've become really good friends with, man. So I'm excited to have the chance to work with him some and you know, do this event with him. Because just it's guys like that. That's what it's about, man. Young cooks in this business, providing opportunities, learning, and just having a great time with them. Look, bottom line is, like, it's about enjoying the opportunity and taking advantage of opportunities, but never stop pushing. And that's what I live by, and I know Dave does as well. We kind of hit it off about, we've hit it off in this conversation. So anyway, you guys, tonight, great show. Looking forward to it. We got Chef Chad coming by from True Cooks. We're going to have a great conversation with him. One of my favorite people in the world, actually, man, just an inspiring guy. So I'm going to get my ducks in a row right here, get myself a cocktail, make sure my candles stay lit. Yes, the Hickory Hearth. That's the name of the candle I have lit. And then we'll be right back with my good friend, Chef Chad from True Cooks. Stay right there. You're checking out Plum Love Foods Live right here. Blog Talk Radio, Stitcher Radio, TuneIn FM, anywhere else you find your podcast. Hell, you might be getting this on my carrier pigeon. I don't even know. We'll see you in a second. Stay right there.
Hey, he's a real screwball, if you ask me. Look at the way he's always sending warnings to the newspapers before he blows another batch of pedestrians to Hades.
Yeah, and have you noticed? He always ends his notes by saying,
"The scent of danger takes me to the edge of panic. Now I'm caught in the plot that was thought up. Satanic like mayo, deo, daylight comes and I want to get home before I'm burnt by the sun." I want to be free in peace, love and harmony, but my Miranda be vanishing like carbon. See, check this.
A picture emerges.
Bells chime at the 12th sign of the seventh scourge.
And the first is a sleeper steeped in the force of the dark side of strife. Behold a pale horse.
And the source be above the law like Seagal.
The thought of his stare raised my hand like Vidal.
Now he stalks where I walk, setting soldiers at the border. I'd hope to catch Guevara acting out of order.
Just meet a fool like Ozzy meets a man.
And the fact is I was kidnapped, thrown in the back of the unmarked van. Destination unknown, in league with the Intrigala Oliver Stone. For starting revolution 33 and a third was all I heard.
In the jurisdiction of the prediction, cause the truth's stranger than fiction. From the get-go, the watcher said so. Beware Sergeant Stiletto.
Now the population faces incarceration while select serpents reach certain circles of illumination.
Looking over my shoulder, I'm seeing shadows on the walls. I'm turning pallid at the thought of the gallows and the gables zoom before me. Can't neglect the connection. Seven on the sides of the cross on the pendulum stiletto. The name of the nemesis, Guevara.
I'm trapped in the labyrinth.
Assassins be passing me and I amongst their midst. Before my name is known,
no.
I slip into the mist. I exist, the specialist who persists to vent the secret entrance I decipher. The hieroglyphs, ta-da! The creaking floor reveals the door, voila! And I emerge into the crypt.
In the jurisdiction of the prediction, cause the truth's stranger than fiction. From the get-go, the watcher said so. Beware, Sergeant Stiletto.
Two Skinny J's. How long has it been since I've heard that, man? What a great band. That band was the shit back in the day. They had a dude who played the that weird instrument with like you put two hands on each side, you pull it back and forth and back and forth. I can't think of the name of it right. Accordion. That's what it was, the accordion. What a great band right there, man. I love those guys. Two Skinny J's, great band. Hell yeah. What a great show tonight, man. Looking forward to it. I love these shows when we have Chad on, man. Chad's an inspiring guy. And, you know, social media, honestly, is a very, very powerful thing. And honestly, it's just one of those things that it makes the world a lot smaller, if that makes any sense. Because you meet people, especially in this business and that we're in when it comes to food, and you meet amazing people and through social media. And Chad's one of the guys who I was incredibly humbled to meet and interview for the first time. And, you know, we've kept in touch. We've been buddies. And, you know, he's one of my favorite people that I've met, and a great guy, inspiring to all of us. Ladies and gentlemen, Chef Chad Minton from True Cooks is right here. Chef, what's up, buddy? How are you?
Fucking pissed.
Oh, shit. He's angry. Uh-oh. What happened? Tell me the story.
Buddy, I've been waiting. We've been looking every day. You know, we've had this on the calendar now for several months, and I kind of expected a little bit more accolades, a little bit more juice for being a five-time.
You want a Hall of Fame jacket? That's what you want.
I want the purple velour Chef Plum smoking jacket. Five-time guest. What am I
right?
doing? I'm here in Las Vegas holding my dick over here waiting in the other day for the fucking mail to show up. And,
damn it.
And there's nothing.
Look, I'm going to put a note in because I sent it. I'm going to put a note in to find out where it is. I sent it. You didn't get the tracking number?
I don't even care what size it is. I don't care the cut, anything. Five-time guest. Plum, God damn it! You've always been such a good dude, man, and you've always supported, you know, like what we do, you know, and what when I say that, I mean, you know, it's not a shameless plug. I mean, what we do, you know, beyond True Cooks, and you've always supported True Cooks, and you know, so, you know, if you need me to come on the show, and you know, say stuff. I'm always delighted to
say stuff.
You know, Chef Dave, our previous guest. Let's get him hooked up to an IV right away.
Yeah,
you could hear the amount of like work and labor in every single word he said. That guy's getting his fucking ass kicked right now, huh?
Yes, he is, dude. He is working his ass off at a French place in Detroit. But a sweetheart of a guy, man. It's a guy who wants to learn. He's a sponge. He's just eager. And he took a job at this French place because he doesn't know much about French cuisine. So that's why he went there. And he's trying to learn. And I give a lot of credit for that, man. But as far as your jacket goes.
He's driving this weekend to do this crazy event with you. And
yep.
Which sounds amazing, too, by the way. That sounds like a hell of a lot of fun. And just listening to him talk, I can kind of hear, like, the miles on the odometer, like clicking off, like, you know, like thinking about the prep list, thinking about like, oh, what have I really signed myself on to? Fuck it, get some sleep, Chef Dave. All good, man. You guys are gonna kill it. And it sounds like fun, man. It does. Hey, how many licks does it take to get to the center of a lollipop?
How many licks does it take to get to the center of a lollipop? That's a damn good question. I think
no,
my answer is
pork lollipop. You guys are doing pork lollipops this weekend.
I was going to tell you the answer. That's what I was going to go with. Bro, it's going to be sick, man. It's basically going to be braised pork. So when you bite into it, it's not like a meatball. It's like pulled pork. It's going to be fucking dope, dude. We're using a little fucking gelatin, and it's going to be badass.
But it's not hard candy.
No, sir. No, not at all. It's a perfect
lollipop
sphere on a stick.
Okay.
Like a cake pop.
So it's a croquette.
It's exactly,
it's a croquette.
Yeah, very much like a croquette. Very similar with this
it's
beautiful local
lollipop.
Blue cheese.
Don't call it a lollipop then. There's a lollipop.
That's what they wanted to call
it. It's a hard candy.
Candy.
I'm a lick it.
Candy.
Lick.
Good call. You,
and I like that.
You could
what about
lick
a
it.
Green apple lollipop with the braised pork in the inside. So you lick it until it gets to the point where you can just crunch it, and then you eat it.
I might be turned on a little bit right now. That's all I'm saying. Like, I don't know if it's about that or just talking.
Well,
about
I don't want to jump the shark. I know we're going to talk about food trends later. You know, so I was trying to get on the forefront of that conversation.
You're right.
What would happen if a little ball of, you know, why stop there? Why not like a blue cheese core, you know, candy apple lollipop that you lick,
yeah,
and then you get to the blue cheese, you know, whatever it is, you know, Roquefort, Gorgonzola, I don't care, and just crunch the whole thing and eat it. Is that good? I don't know.
I'm in. I think it's in. Let's just do it.
I mean, we could make them in the restaurant, but I don't know if you could package them and sell them in grocery stores.
They're frozen, maybe, right?
Oh, fuck no. You can't freeze a goddamn lollipop.
Frozen, but
we're gonna have to refer to the spiceologist at Spiceology, and maybe they can stabilize a blue cheese powder core for a hard candy green apple blue cheese lollipop.
And by the way, all joking aside, big shout out to Tony Reed. Thanks for the you know, the introduction there, man. That guy's awesome, dude. I really enjoyed talking to him. What a great guy he is, man. Spiceology, they're doing an amazing thing over there.
I had Tony at the house, and he can come back anytime. Absolutely love the dude. Classy guy, and you got to meet him in real life. He's a good-looking dude, too. He is. He's a real handsome guy.
I hate that.
Well,
like, I don't want to look into
well,
I'm a,
you
know
guys,
me, I'm a
you guys might... You might have a problem then, because this is one, you're kind of like a fucking young, I don't know, Tom Selleck or something. Good looking guy.
Oh, shit. well, dude, I want to...
Dude, but hey, man, I'm not joking. I want to stabilize blue cheese in a powder form, and let's do a candy apple green blue cheese lollipop. You know, I mean...
Well, dude, they're already doing it.
We were doing those port foie gras lollipops and shit, and those things were like such a pain in the ass. And it was all fine dining, but it'd be dope to turn it over, you know, to the candy industry and let them do it.
Bro, he does.
I'm telling
that,
you, food trends 2020. Food trends 2020.
There you go. They do a powdered blue cheese already, man, which is awesome. It's in their black and blue seasoning, so I'm sure they could do it. You know, they're doing some crazy stuff.
I got, you know what?
Shout out to Tony.
I got to tell you, I got some of that shit at the house. And the one that we've been doing is the... habanero honey granules. And
oh fuck,
dude, you know, I've been playing around with them with whole chickens, you know, bacon in the morning,
right,
microwave popcorn.
Nice, good thinking. Yeah,
so many applications, you know. And I you know, obviously as a chef, I've never really been interested in, you know, fucking blends or spice powders or shit. If I want to make something taste
like the way
I want it to taste, I'll add my own, you know, quantity of cumin or whatever the fuck it is, you know. But the shit's good, man. And like,
dude,
you know, whatever, man. Anytime that there's a fucking chef-owned company, you know, fighting the good fight, and they're fighting the no GMO fight, which is like, good luck, guys. You know, you got to support it. You got to back it. You got to love it. So,
I agree. I completely back
man.
Them. I'll be stocking
Snoop Dogg
my kitchen.
And Snoop Dogg and Martha Stewart this weekend.
I can't wait. I'm so excited, man. But listen, it's fun. It's always great to have you on, Duke. You're such a good dude, man. And, you know, I've only had the opportunity to really kind of hang with you, you know, once in real life. And I'm hoping we can make that happen again, because that's a great time. You're just an inspiring guy to everybody, man. You're such a positive dude. And, coming from a very hard business, and two hard businesses, the kitchen business and the apparel business, two very, very hard businesses.
Woo! Holy shit. Throw this
right.
Yeah. No idea. Yeah.
but it's awesome because, you know, when you and I first talked, it was probably getting close to 2 years ago, and here we are now, 2018.
No, Plum. Keep going. Because
when
we first talked was prior, which was prior to our first year anniversary, was 4 years
15?
Ago. And
no,
and
bro,
yeah, because our web store has been open now as of last Thursday for four years. So excuse me, I misspoke. It's been 3 years now that you and I have been talking pretty regularly, off and on. So, you know,
dude,
Let me just cite that. That's insane. I've got a screen grab of our DMs.
Oh, nice. Nice. You're gonna make sure I wasn't crazy.
Just for legal purposes.
Right.
If you ever touch me the wrong way, I can say that, you know, I've been in contact with this person since, you know, 2013, and he touched me inappropriately 15 years ago.
Right.
And I got a serious problem.
Well, we'll keep that part quiet, at least for now. We'll bring that part out later on. But, bro, it's just amazing to see that after all this time and hanging out and just talking, you know, and whatnot, and, you know, pretty much kind of maintaining what's going on and being involved and really just kind of falling in love with the brand personally. Dude, here we are. It's 2018. You're still kicking it, brother. You're still doing it. And, I mean, to that, it's a testament to all the True Crooks fans out there and, of course, yourself. I mean, that's a long time to keep something like this going.
A lot of work, man, you know, and thank you, you know. I mean, I have to assume at this point that people probably have some, perceptions about, you know, what's happening here. And, you know, I love using your show as a way to kind of clear the slate on a lot of things. And, you know, man, I quit my job. I didn't quit my job. I kind of retired from the job about 6 months ago. And that was to pursue True Crooks. And that's something that we never started True Crooks to do that. I had no intention ever of quitting my job. And, you know, we just felt, and when I say we, I mean myself and Tanya, my wife, who was, you know, she's the backbone behind this whole thing. You know, we shipped 13,000 orders worldwide in 4 years, and she's printed every single one of those labels and boxed every single one of those orders and shipped every single one of those items. So, you know,
I hope you gave her a raise.
Well, that's the thing, Plum. You know, it's like we don't make any money off of True Crooks. It's always been, you know, kind of like this fun thing that we do, you know, that's sponsored or financed through my position as executive chef. And,
right,
you know, the past couple of years, you know, it became very evident that, you know, shame on us if we don't respect what we've built up to this point. And when something means something to somebody, then it becomes real. And, you know, I love the kitchen. I miss it. I miss so many things of it dearly. But in order for us to really do justice and respect the following that we've built up to this point, I had to walk away from my job and try to pursue True Crooks full time. Not so much like as a get rich thing, but as, you know, let's manage this business and let's try to continue to let it grow and continue to do the things that we've learned over the years that are really dope, that people like, that we like, that these are things we want to do. And time, man, you know. We left Carmel because there's no way I could ever afford, it's like New York, you know, it's like if you're not working there as executive chef, you know, good luck. And we bought an old house in Las Vegas, and that was for business reasons. And we've been here for 6 months now, and, you know, last Friday, and this is kind of the big one, we finally secured a distribution deal. And that's something that I've been kind of working on in the down low for a long time now. And what that means to True Crooks and what it means to Tanya and I is that we're no longer responsible for the order fulfillment for every single order that's ever placed with True Crooks. And that's going to allow, you know, me the time to start growing the brand in really cool ways. And the first big initiative is going to be content.
Right.
And all of the wonderful connections that we've made, you know, over the past 4 or 5 years, they don't know it yet, but they're going to become front and center on a pretty significant campaign. And what we want to do is kind of reevaluate True Cooks. And by
reevaluating, you got a platform now. You know, you got a platform.
There's a lot
now,
of things.
And I'm just, I just want to interrupt
a lot
you for
of things
a second, man, because
it's,
and I don't want to downplay it. And I want everybody to realize, man.
No doubt.
The fact
that
you,
I'm with it. Yeah.
The distribution thing, man, that's a huge step for you and how you guys do things. And I mean, you would handwrite notes and send it. Like, everyone knew. Like, if we order some shit.
Well, I still, Plum, I'm so sorry. Excuse me. And that's something that's like the biggest challenge right now for us, is that we're trying to figure out how we can continue to do that. And we're gonna figure that out. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Yeah, but I mean, it's one of those things that you know, me as you know, we're friends, and I'm proud of you for that, man. And that is huge. That's a giant accomplishment, man. I mean, the fact that, I mean, first of all, the first accomplishment, which we haven't had a chance to really talk a lot about, you know, in front of people, the fact you could quit your job and make this your job is amazing. I mean, that is inspiring in itself. That shows if you work hard enough and you bust your ass, dude, you can do anything, you know?
If you would have told me, you know, there's like a Jay-Z line where, you know, where he says, if you would have told me 15 years ago that Hova would sell clothing, I would have told you were in your right mind. There's no way I believe that. And you know, I don't make it a secret, you know. I mean, of course, True Cooks is a business. We manufacture goods, we sell goods for chefs by chefs. That's it. You know, but beyond that, what makes it special is this community that we have, and the people and the connections and everything. That's what makes it real. And that's where the content piece is going to become so dope, because like the things that we've done up to this point that have been kind of cool and have caught people like, oh, hey, that's dope. You know, well, we're going to do that at a video content level. And I've never had the resources or the time to be able to do this. I've got all the storyboards and great ideas and pitches in the fucking world, but we've never been able to really have the support that we've needed to be able to do this and to be able to showcase the folks that are down with us, that support us. We want to support them. And that's the look. And I think that we need to look at True Cooks more like, instead of like, you know, a dope online community or you know, this cool niche, you know, clothing brand. It needs to be more like, this is like the Vice Channel 15 years ago, and this is us. And you know, like I'm not controlled by things that control other media sources. And how dope would it be for us to be able to start creating our own in-house video content, and to be able to have different programming, and to be able to include, you know, people that, you know, that we get a kick out of. I mean, I would love to see Oriana. I would love to sit down for dinner. I would love to sit down anywhere, first off, anywhere with Oriana, and just get her going. And the more that we can get Ori going, and the more that you can film that, I think that's classic. And there's one slice of life, because that's Queensbridge, that's New York, that's our heart, that's you know. But how many Orianas are there in the world that have a passionate story to tell, that are fun, that we can tell honest cooks stories from a chef's perspective, and not from some
one of my favorite hands down interviews I've had on the show and talking with Ori. And I tell you what, we went on and on. And, you know, I have an hour and a half in this program normally, and her and I went right up to the wire, because it was a great conversation. She's amazing. And, you know, just talking about that kind of content, man, the world is changing. And just from a person who kind of has their toe, that's it, just their toe in that world a little bit, I'm going to tell you, man, straight up and down, Mohegan Sun, one of the largest casinos in the world, joined on with my content that I do with Restaurant Road Trip, joined on for that, and we air on television. They wanted nothing to do with television. They said, we don't want to be on. We want nothing to do with it. We want 100% all digital. It's all we want. And they gave us money for that. The world is changing. just in a nutshell, I shot a pilot with Food Network, and everyone knows this isn't hidden knowledge or anything. A commissioned pilot, which means Food Network paid for it. They asked for me specifically. It was their concept. When that happens, that's pretty much guaranteed to go to a season, at least a 6-episode season. We were very excited. Brother, Food Network has shut down everything since December. They've shut down everything, even things they paid for. Do you know why they shut it down, dude? They shut everything down because their world is changing. In the past 8 months, they have made $0 and 0 cents because digital is changing the way we all watch things. Because we all walk around with a 4.5-inch, 5-inch television in our pockets, and we watch short-form video content. That's why.
Plum. Can I get 2 cents there? As a small business owner, you know, I would be so flabbergasted. I'd be delighted if there was somebody, you know, if KitchenAid was knocking down my door saying, you know, can we advertise with you? Can we do this? Can we do that?
Yeah.
The mainstream hasn't made the curve yet on what's really happening. And when getting back to what we were talking about before, the Food Networks of the world, and I love the Food Network. Okay, I think the Food Network has done a lot of good and a lot of, you know, a lot of bad.
It's not a lot of bad, brother. I mean, you don't have to say it.
At their own admission, you know. But I don't want to get into a situation where I'm kicking a dead horse. I think that the truer look, you know, for me, and look, man, I unsubscribed to cable many years ago, and we do the Amazon, you know, Fire Stick here, and we can kind of filter what we see and what we don't see, and I think that,
right,
you know, as a household and human beings, we're probably better for it. But in terms of like commercial TV, you know, they've always played to the lowest common, you know, denominator, and they kind of pander a lot to circumstances, things that everybody can relate to, and the food programming is geared very much towards casual foodies and attracting a larger audience. And where that's different from True Cooks is that I can fucking promise you right now, I don't give a fuck about the larger audience. I really don't.
Right.
And yeah, you could cash in real quick and sell, you know, a million of whatever dumbass item you want to manufacture. But what True Cooks really represents is something very core and something that's very true to a lot of people. And when I say a lot of people, I mean a lot of my brothers and sisters that make food all over the fucking world at different capacities. And we cast a wide net. And I get blown up a lot for not being able to be everything for everybody all the time. And what happens is that when we go too core, I get blown up by, you know, folks that feel that True Cook should represent, you know, a higher echelon of cooking and that cooking is not martyrdom. And I agree with that. And then you try to appease the, you know, 1%, and then you have people saying, oh, what the fuck are, you know, these plating tweezers? I can't hold a saute pan with a pair of fucking tweezers. What the fuck is this? I thought it was called True Cooks, not, you know, True Phonies or whatever. And it's like, you know, so but when you're talking about, you know, for the first time in the history of the fucking world, you know, building a brand around the second largest segment of, you know, employment in North America, you're gonna inevitably rub some people the wrong way. And you know, I don't go out of my way to be provocative. You know, I don't. You know, True Cooks is honestly just a reflection of my 27 years in the kitchen working my way up from the bottom to, you know, about a, what, 13-year tenure as a, you know, luxury executive chef at hotels, you know. And you know, I had a conversation this morning, you know, I'm sorry to carry on, but I had a conversation this morning with, I'm not going to say his name, but he's absolutely, no question, one of the most influential chefs in North America. And I was absolutely floored to talk to him. I never talked to him before. I never met him socially or at a event or anything. And he had reached out because he really loves what True Cooks is, and he gets it and wants to support us and wants to do things and wants to get behind the brand. And when somebody of this level of success, you know, reaches out, you know, I've always maintained, man, like it would be dope if like celebrity chefs, like were into True Cooks, but you know, as a career, you know, hotel, you know, chef, their, you know, approval has never really meant that much to me. And what means more to me is being able to shine some light on folks that otherwise don't get light shined on them. And, you know, to be able to, you know, hopefully positively affect people's life and create opportunities where, you know, they're able to network and kind of build their own opportunities. And, you know, maybe, you know, maybe I can help people with their careers and understand that there's a lot of ways that you can make a buck in cooking, and that today, and you know, you said this earlier, you alluded to this earlier, that there's, you know, 100 different ways that you can create a career for yourself today in cooking versus, you know,
sure,
10, 15, 20, 30 years ago. And, you know, maybe the typical path of, you know, line cook and work your way up to sous chef and, you know, make the executive chef. And, you know, maybe that's good for one person, but maybe that looks not good for another person who's equally passionate about food. So, you know, if I was to keep my job as executive chef and, you know, I could do this thing that's very self-satisfying for myself, which is terribly selfish, in terms of cooking food and dishes and menus and stuff that, you know, I know that I like, that I think my guests will like, you know, and I can positively affect about 40 people that way. But the gamble in leaving the kitchen and trying to pursue and build True Cooks was that, you know, maybe, just maybe, the message is right. We could positively affect for who knows. You know, but the message is really prominent. And Plum, the message is that, you know, in today's society, I don't know how many trades there are, how many jobs there are out there, that if you're coming like I did from very limited means, from very absolutely nothing, you know, through, you know, a little bit of humility and dedication and sacrifice over a period of time, you can create a professional salary for yourself. And and True Cooks is my love letter to that, because I could be sleeping in a fucking tent or being in jail just as easily as I could be here talking to you on the telephone in this amazing 1956 mid-century modern home, you know, at the foot of the Stratosphere in Las Vegas, man.
Right.
You know, so I'm humble pie. You know, I thank everybody out there. I thank you, you know, and it's not one day that goes by that I don't thank my lucky stars. But you don't get here accidentally, though, right? You know, everybody wants to be the chef, but nobody wants to do the work.
Yeah, I mean, I think you summed it up perfectly there, man. I don't even know if I can tag that anymore, but I mean, if you work your ass off, you're committed, you can do it. I mean, you said it right there. You could easily be in jail or doing something. I mean, you could be, you know, digging ditches, but here we are talking to thousands of people, you know, about a brand and just about a profession, about a trade. Make no mistake, it's a trade. We work with our hand. That's what the fuck we do. And there's nothing, no shame in that. I mean, fuck, working in this trade has put a roof over my head. Working in this trade has introduced me to my wife and given me three beautiful children. Working with this trade has put food on my plate for 20 fucking years now. Working on at this trade has put me on television. There is nothing wrong at all with working in this trade. And for you,
and that's the respect, and that's the respect that I'm talking about for what we do. You know?
Yeah.
And, you know, so I
love this business. And someone like you who comes from it, you take that work ethic that we have as cooks, as culinarians, as chefs, as dishwashers, as servers, as expo, whatever it is, the work ethic that you learn from doing that, bro. If we could bottle that shit up and sell it, we would be millionaires.
Why would you want all that money? What are you going to do with all that money? That's too much money, Plum.
I'll tell you what I'll do with that money. I would use that money to showcase other chefs, and that's the God's honest truth. If you know me, you know that I'm telling the fucking truth. That's exactly what I would do. Look,
well, I got this dope, it's exciting. I got this dope company for you to invest in. I don't know if you've heard of it.
What are they called? My man, look, it's one of my favorite things, man, talking to you. You're such an inspiring guy. You're one of the good ones, brother. And I thank you so much for even just being a friend and being here and hanging out and
talking
about it.
Yeah, likewise.
Dude, I know you got some dope drops coming. What can you tell us about the next drop coming from True Coach before we move on to something else?
Last year, I got fucking burned. I have no problem talking about this. I'm about 15K into prototyping tools abroad, and pretty much every tong that we use, every spatula, everything comes from two different Chinese manufacturers. And what we're trying to do is build something. I don't want to recreate the tong. I just want to make a fucking awesome pair of tongs that are a little bit more petite, that are you can plate things with, that you can still hold a hot saute pan with, that, that are kind of dope. And, you know, so those goddamn things, hopefully it'll be done this year. You know, all of the quarterly drops, apparel stuff is just getting tighter and tighter. Got a lot of fun stuff coming in that regard. But, you know, what I really want to start focusing on is really ballistic, tactile, quality shit. And
right.
we just recently got this shelter dog. He's a 1 year old half German Shepherd, half Belgian Malinois. And
wait, I saw on your Facebook the obedience training is working out well for him.
Yeah. He's a big baby, you know, but he will put his teeth all around your face and hold your face in his mouth, and that's just what he does.
Hold your face.
And, you know, bro, look, man, I had English Bulldogs forever. We love them. You know, we lost our, you know, Oliver Bojangles, you know, went to heaven in New York. It's been about 3 years since, you know, since we've had a dog. And we said, you know what, let's go do this. And we got this guy, and I didn't know much about the breed. Come to find out, the Belgian Malinois is like the number one takedown dog in the world and is used. Those are the dogs that were the Bin Laden dogs. Are the number one military dog in the world. I had no idea.
Nice.
But they're super feral, and they just want to run and bite and chew and jump, and they're fucking insane. So we got these harnesses for the dog, and they're the military issue, you know. And I was looking at these things. I was like, holy fuck, this is the best made thing I've ever seen. So we want it. I've been working backwards off of these military Belgian Malinois tactile restraint units to build the world's greatest knife roll.
Nice, dude.
And you know, I'm so excited about this, dude. I spent, honestly, dude, the past fucking 5 months working on this thing, and it's getting closer. It's getting closer. And these things take forever, man. You know, and That's one of the biggest frustrations with True Cooks. I mean, you know, you want to make a special at work, and you know, you want to do something with that, you know, I don't know, the fucking, you know, short rib or whatever. Done. You can do it. But this shit, it's like, you know, you have the idea, you have it all mapped out, planned out, and it's like these things take forever and forever and forever. So all I can say is, man, we got a lot of really cool stuff going, but you know, the products aside, this year is all about content. It's all about me going to your hood. There's, and I think I might pop up in some places. I think I might work some shifts for some people. And conversely, I think that we're going to have some one-day vacations here at the HQ in Vegas. And I want to, you know, we've always kind of, every summer we do like this one-day vacation thing. And, you know, we did tank tops 1 year, and we did, you know, some hat the next year. And like everybody always kind of gets a kick out of it. So I thought, how dope would it be like, and I don't know how we're going to weigh it, but I thought, how dope would it be like if we could get whoever this feels like they're working hard, you know, underappreciated, needs to blow off a little bit of steam. Well, I'll fly you to the TCHQ, and how about I pick you up at the airport in the fucking Hemi, and we'll hang out poolside for a day. We'll cook some shit, eat some shit, catch some rays, maybe go do a little, you know, 25-cent slot gambling on Fremont Street, and come back here and call it a day. And
big spender.
Yeah, well, come on, man. Shit, come on, we're all
good. I'm with it. And
the next day, I take you back to the, you know, the airport, and send you on your way. And you know, marijuana is 100% recreational and legal here too, by the way. So we might have a little bit of you know, mini cannabis cup in the backyard. And send you on your way, and just have like for me, like in my ideology, like back in the day, like the best like weekend or day and a half, like half, like 1 day vacation, you know, eat something dope, fucking chill, catch some rays, swim, eat something, cook something nice, and back on the airplane, off you go. And I don't know how we're going to do it, but like, I want to start that this summer and start having folks come out here and stay with us. And again, you know, like if I can put you on to something, you know, then that's what's good. You know, I mean, Plum, we had Joshua Tango over last week, and he's a dude we met on Instagram. He's just, you know, best guy. From Orange County, greater Los Angeles area. He's been working in North Carolina. He went and tried out at the French Laundry and got the job.
And
he was driving from North Carolina to French Laundry, stayed here for a day and a half. We had some fun. He helped us with the inventory. He slept in literally the last night in the storeroom. And, you know, a young man that's trying to, you know, better themselves, young person, this would be, I don't know, I sound like fucking grandpa over here. But, you know, when I think about like a young person that wants to try to like pursue a traditional, you know, culinary come up, and I can't think of a fucking better way to do it than that. You know, I really can't. And you know, like if we can play a part in that, if we can inspire people to like want to better themselves in that way, like you're not going to better yourself today. And that's the fuck thing with any trade. That's the thing that a lot of people have a problem with, is that they think that they're going to, you know, humble themselves today and they're going to have an immediate come up. There's not an immediate come up, but what you do have is a slow come up. And if young people can gauge their expectations and understand that the more I put into this, ultimately I'm going to get out of it, then I think they'd probably be more satisfied with entry-level jobs. I mean, I don't know about you, but when I was a young cook, I couldn't wait to distance myself from the last shitty job I had. So it's like, oh, I no, I'm not that motherfucker, dude, that was working the fryer at the fucking, yeah, you know, the London Sports Bar or whatever shitty place. No. True. Now I'm the guy that's worked at the grill at the fucking steakhouse or whatever,
yeah,
you know?
I'm the grill cook,
and,
right?
And you want to distance yourself further and further and further and further from that shit in your career, and that's perfectly normal because you're trying to move up, you're trying to, you know, make more money, you're trying to gain more responsibility. But, you know, now that I'm as old as I am and I have a little perspective on my career, I find myself looking back on those terrible jobs, like, so fondly. Like, fuck, man. Like,
you
want
to
really
go back to work in the fryer, right?
Like, exactly. I was mad that I had to sprinkle the fucking, you know, whatever, the hot spice on the fucking fries, whatever stupid thing it was.
Oh, shit.
You know?
Well,
and how,
dude,
great
you,
are those
your
jobs?
Story. Dude, your story, it's so funny. Ryan Peters, another True Cooks guy, man, went and did the French Laundry work, and is killing it in Pittsburgh now, his own place called Brunois, and he's doing a great job. And what a sweetheart of a guy. Just Ryan's a great dude.
I see his pictures all the time. They look beautiful. Yeah. Yeah, his food looks beautiful.
He's killing it, man. Yeah, what a great guy he is. And he did the same thing. So you never know what's up, man. I mean, those things can change, and it can be a life-changing experience to have that happen to people. So, you know, more power to him and good luck to him, especially moving forward with all that, dude. So it's fun to see that maybe here moving forward in 2018, there may be some True Cooks one-day-cations coming up. And look, I'm trying to figure out, how do I get one of those, man? I've worn your shit on television. Like, what the fuck do I got to do? Like, you want the purple jacket here for being on the show? I want a one-day-cation. Goddamn.
I want to focus on those that can't provide their own means. And I know that you can not only provide your own means, but you provide means for your entire family. So,
well, that's the grandpa factor. I'm right there with you, brother. Remember, we're about the same age. So,
you know, my Paulie Cooks, he recently told me that I was just on dad shit. That I'm just dad. That I'm on dad shit.
That's great.
And I told him. I said, "God damn it, Paulie, you're gonna see when you're my age. You're gonna get to a point of where you just want to sit back and watch the grass grow, and maybe work on the fence a little bit, and you know, plant some succulents or something."
Plants and succulents. Jesus Christ.
You know,
hey,
I mean, yeah,
it's so
I was
funny,
fucking dad
dude.
Shit,
it's
yeah,
so funny.
100%.
Bro, it's so funny that I have some of those in my living room right now. I have succulents in my fucking living room right now. I hate my life. What's wrong with me? Hey, check
Wait,
it out.
Don't hate your life. What succulents do you have? My wife,
oh,
she's
Jesus,
tiny. She has all the succulents. Which ones do you have? Tell me which ones. Do you have the fire?
I don't know their... I don't know the name. Yeah, I think we actually have that one. I don't know all their names, man. We
no,
got it in pots. It's three
fire
pots.
Stick. It doesn't...
It's fire something. My daughters make them alive. They're the ones that feed them and water them. And I'm like, oh, that's pretty cool. And I'm like, why do I like that? I don't know. Listen, I want you to know something right now. You've blown my phone up. My phone has been ringing nonstop and text messaging and Instagram DMs nonstop. And I told this guy I would take one question from him. He's asked for. We'll do one question, and then we're gonna move on. Cause I want to talk about. I mean, you're a great guy to get input on food trends from last year because you know, we talked a little bit about it. It's just some stupid shit out there, man. But this gentleman here was asking for a question, so we might run a little bit long here. Is that cool with you?
Yeah, buddy. I'm all yours. You know, you buy the ticket, you ride the ride.
There's Chad's a man. There you go. I love that. This is from Ethan's Eats. That's Ethan with a Z underscore Eats with a Z. He wanted to know from you and myself, when do we think the right time for a young chef to finally start their own business? He's looking to start his, but he's not sure if it's the right thing to do. Do we have any thoughts? You can go first if you want, brother.
Man, that's a hard, that's a good, that for fucking once, that's a good question. And that's a hard one.
Fucking
to ask. It really is, you know, I want follow-up questions to that. So my questioning for that is like, okay, the business,
Right. Well, I'm guessing it's a restaurant of some sort.
And well, that's what you're assuming. What if it was the fucking green apple, you know, blue cheese lollipop business? You know what I mean? I mean there's a lot of different businesses, and before I would you know, be all rah rah on do your shit, there's nothing that beats experience. There really isn't, man. And you know, I've seen young people that had no business experience whatsoever become extremely successful. And conversely, I've seen people like my dude Steve Brown, okay, who's a fucking badass chef who works all day, every day, everywhere, struggle to maintain restaurants. So, you know, I mean, it's such a fickle industry, you know.
Right.
Food, it's so subjective, and maybe one thing tastes good to one person, maybe it tastes bad to another person. Maybe on one block it works, maybe on the other block it doesn't work. In one town it works, in another town it doesn't work. I would never, ever tell somebody there's a formula for like you know, like success, for like when to start your business. But one thing that I would urge them to be cognizant of, it, regardless of what it is what do those margins look like? And it's right. easy to become enamored in a concept for anything and be passionate about it and be like, no, yo, I'm going to do the work. You don't understand. I'm going to be out under that fucking street lamp. Work. I'm going to be out there. I'm going to put work in. And spin in your wheels because the margins don't work. And even though you're making a lot of money, you're not bringing anything to the bottom line. And that could be like a best case scenario. So, you know, Ethan, fucking homeboy, holler at me, man. We could talk offline on this one, man, because it's a long conversation.
Just so you guys know, Chad's cool like that, man. Send him a message, dude. He'll answer you. He'll talk to you. He's a good fucking dude, man. He's one of the good ones. I'm going to spend 30 seconds, brother, if you don't mind. I'm going to answer this question, and I have an answer. I have a very good answer, and I'm going to be honest with you, brother. After 20 years of doing this business, I learned this answer last Friday. You ready for this? I literally learned it last Friday.
Hit him.
And
get him.
I was at a restaurant called Tony D's in New London, Connecticut, and it's a restaurant that you look at the outside, and you're like, oh, man, and we're shooting a TV show there. And I walk in. And I meet Tony, and everything's cool. The place looks like a mafia type place from like the 50s. Like that's the vibe they're going for, old school Italian nope. food. I wasn't sure Love. If it was gonna be my thing or not. It really wasn't. I was like, come on.
hey, dude, that's a pursuit.
Yeah, well, exactly, brother. Exactly. The server tells me we're asking for martinis, and dude, check this out. The server goes, "We just opened. I gotta see what kind of juices we have squeezed. Chef has thrown away all of our box juices, and now any juice we have has to be freshly squozen. Has to be freshly squeezed." I was like, wow.
Squozen. I like
Squozen. Squozen is a fucking band that played punk music in 94. They're just, anyway, so she's like, all of our juices at the bar are all, you know, freshly squeezed juices. Let me find out what we have. I was like, huh. So when I'm interviewing the chef, Chad, check this out, man. And this is just something that, like, as a chef, I've never thought about. It's never even hit me. And when he told me this, well, I'm not gonna lie, and my guys who were working on the show will tell you, it made me well up a little bit. I couldn't believe how fucking smart this was. The dude says to me, this motherfucker, dude, he is funny as shit. This old school Italian guy. I'm sorry, young Italian guy, but old school. His entire life has been spent in here. He didn't go to culinary school. He didn't train under anybody. It's his family's business. He's been there. He's been running the kitchen now for a few years. He says to me,
You're making the Sunday gravy.
Yeah. I say, Chef, They were telling me at the bar that, you know, all the juices are now freshly squeezed and for all martinis. I'm like, that's pretty intense. And you know what the dude said to me, bro? He goes like this. He goes, well, when you come in my restaurant, the first thing you get is a drink. It makes the first impression. It needs to be awesome. It needs to be amazing. It needs to knock your socks off. Because if it's not, we're not setting the tone right. Dude.
Man, he's got it. And you know, well, the dope thing is that there's like 100 guys just like that in his town.
I mean,
people that get it.
It's
like that.
Yeah.
He got it.
And I'm not going to lie. Like, in 20 years of doing this and running restaurants and running 5-diamond, 5-star, AAA mobile rated hotels, I've never once thought about it like that. I will from here on out the rest of my life. But hearing that is incredible. So the answer in my brain to Ethan's question, when you think like that, when your brain is that in tune and you're there and that's where you are with it, now it's time. Now it's time.
Well, it's yeah, and that's well said, and it's real easy. You know, you do not want to, conceptually, it's real easy, and you don't want to sell Eggs Benny one time. You don't want to sell, you know, that dope grilled cheese one time. You want to sell them. You want to create for life, people that will come back to that dope grilled cheese sandwich even after it's already ran its fad or its heyday or whatever.
Yeah.
And how do you transcend, you know, how do you transcend trends, I think is the question. And, you know, how do you tap into classics and execute them in a way that are novel enough to attract new customers, but to not turn off people that are attracted to it from what it genuinely is. And I think as chefs, that's something that we all have to be cognizant of with whatever we do.
And man, I'll tell you, the thing is, this guy, I mean, look, man, we've all got stories. We've all got, you know, we've all trained here and there. We've got degrees from here and there. And this dude has done nothing his entire life but work in the restaurant. And his goal is to be the best restaurant in his town. That's his goal. That's all he wants. That's all he cares about. And
goal setting, like when you're talking about like what makes a successful person, like what makes like I'm OCD. You have to understand this. I'm OCD and ADD. So it's like I have be compulsively, like things are in order and things are in line and there's not stuff that's messy. I have a problem with that. Same time, like setting goals for yourself, I've always done that, and I've found it to be a really easy way for me to clear my mind and to be able to focus on like one short-term goal at a time. And I've done this my entire life, and a lot of the times it drives people around me crazy because I have a tendency to focus on like one thing, and whether that's how crispy is the breading on the chicken, or you know, how clean is the driveway, or is the fucking bed made, or whatever, you know, that's the cross that I have to carry. But one good positive thing that I've gotten out of that is that by short-term goal setting, you know, again, coming from very little and being able to achieve some type of success in professional cooking, short-term goal setting has been fundamental to me in being able to get there, man. You know, and sometimes it could be as small as like, hey, you know what? I'm going to quit burning this fucking thing every time. And this week, I'm going to quit burning this thing every time. And every time I get this thing, I know it's sugary, but I'm not going to burn it. And I'm going to get it in the window the way the chef wants it. And sometimes it's as simple as that, man. Sometimes it's, you know, like, look, I'm going to not go out every, you know, Saturday this month and, you know, divert that money to, you know, that bed that I want to get to try to attract that prettier girlfriend that I've always wanted. And you know what I mean? It's like every single thing like kind of builds off of the other. And I think that sometimes, you know, it just takes somebody to tell someone that, hey, man, you know, it's going to be okay. For real, when I was your age, I was in your shoes, man, and my shoes were fucking bald. And
right.
How do
people
you
have
get
gone through,
being,
man?
How do you get from being this greasy shoed motherfucking line cook that's just like getting no love, you know, and shade thrown on them everywhere they go, to having a nice life with a beautiful wife in a beautiful house? Like how do you bridge that gap? Fuck, man, I'm here, man. I'm a resource because somehow I figured it out, you know, and right. I never thought I could, you know, but every single day while I was mincing those shallots and I was pushing myself to attain these goals professionally, I was thinking about, like, motherfucker, I want to chill hard one day, you know, seriously.
Right.
You know, we go so hard. Fuck, man. Like what would it take just to be able to be like a regular dude? Like, not like a fucking famous dude, but just like a regular dude that could provide for himself and his family in a way that is like not ghetto.
And listen, it can be done.
That's
it. It can be done. It can be done. I mean, bro,
anyone can do it. Anyone can do it. In this industry, anyone can do it.
But having that mindset that this dude Anthony has this restaurant, that's the mindset you got to have. He's thinking about you before you even see a menu. He's thinking about you before you even, like, think about what you want to have for dinner. When he's made the comment that the drink sets the tone, it hit me, bro. And you'll see in this episode, and I'll make sure you see it, man. Every episode of this fucking program, I come up with a funny ending because I think it should always end on a funny note. I do something stupid. This one, dude, I don't. It's me walking down the street, and I'm just expressing how amazing this guy is for the way, what he's doing, how he's doing it, and doesn't care about the fanfare, doesn't care about any of that. You know why he's doing it? He's doing it because it's the right way to fucking do it. And to me, that touches me in a weird way, man. It just does, because we all strive to be that, and this guy is fucking doing it. And he doesn't know any different. No one's ever told him. No one's ever been training. He just knows that's the way it should be done. If he wants fish, he lives in a fucking beautiful seaport area. You know what he does? He goes to the fishing dock 4 days a week to get his fish directly from the fucking fishermen. He pan-seared me delicious monkfish. It was amazing. And to me,
you know,
that's
inspiring. An old movie. There's an old movie, John Hughes movie. It's called Say Anything. And in the
movie,
great
fucking movie.
In the movie, the character John Cusack is asked by the father of the girl that he's pursuing, you know, what do you plan to do with your life? You know, what do you want to do? And he didn't have an answer, you know, but what his answer was that he didn't want to produce anything that was mass produced. He didn't want to become a cog in the gear of, you know, commercialism. And, you know, when I was a young, you know, person, like, that really resonated with me, because in the 80s, you know, everything was about Reaganomics and to try to get the, you know, like, one leg up on the next person and make more money and what have you. And I really kind of gravitated towards cooking because I thought it was such an organic, cool thing that kind of connected you with the earth and that it grounded you as a human being, and that you weren't, you know, producing something or commercializing something or what have you, you know, is very organic. And, you know, it's funny how shit changes. You know, it's funny how shit changes because this thing that's like so organic and so simple has gotten so commercialized to the point that, you know, you were saying earlier that the Food Network's imploding in on itself because they lost their core, because they chased all this terrible, you know, programming that's so far away from, you know, a Julian Serrano showing you how to fucking cook a piece of lamb, you know, and I promise you that if you watch Julian Serrano show you how to cook a piece of lamb and you pay attention, you'll always be able to cook a piece of lamb perfectly, or, you know, Jacques Pepin or fucking whoever, you know, whoever it is. And those were the shows, like those mid-century shows, like those 50s, 60s cooking programs,
are, you know, like kind of like the basis for modern day cooking programming, and things got overly commercialized and became a parody of themselves, kind of like how rap music, my beloved rap music, has become. So what do you do? Like, how do you keep it core? How do you keep it core? How do you honor those forefathers, those greats, those legends? Because a lot of the shit that's produced on television and a lot of the rap music that's produced is sinful and disrespectful to the forefathers that have put these, you know, art forms and trades together. You know, so what can we do to create a positive change? You know, what can we do instead of, you know, complaining about obvious problems? What can we do proactively to change it? And what we're going to do is we're just going to create our own content and fuck it. You know,
right. That's what's become, for sure.
Worked,
you're right.
We've worked night and day and night to build this thing. And, you know, it's not the biggest thing in the world, but, you know, the people that feel it. And, you know, that's what's important to me. So, you know, True Cooks, we're just going to kind of throw a couple of middle fingers up to, you know, traditional food programming, start doing our own programming.
Well, check it out, brother. Let me get through this weekend and you and I should have a conversation, because I have an idea. And we should have a conversation about that, because I think I've got a pretty good concept that we should talk about. That could be awesome. But I have, and dude, I could talk to you for 4 hours. You know that, right? Like, I could just talk shop with you for 4 hours. It's awesome.
We did a 4-hour show. We did a 4-hour show before, but at the end of it, it was just you and I. We're the only ones there. There's no one listening.
The way it goes, man. We got about 10 minutes left here before they're going to cut me off. And we talked about talking some about these horrible things from 2017. So I want to run through a few of them at least so I can say that we did do it. And like I said, dude, I appreciate you so much. You have no idea. I just love guys who have been in this business, who have come up in it and who have made it happen and done well for themselves. And you definitely fall in that category. It's all from hard work. And you are the man, brother. Much appreciated. Much love to you and much respect for that. In the meantime.
Thank you so much, man. That makes me feel so good in my old age. I can't tell you, man. My spirit's soaring right now, brother. Thank you.
Hey, if you need me to replace the wheel in that wheelchair for you, just let me know. I'll pump it up or whatever we got to do. I mean, I'll make sure Grandpa gets the brunch. Don't worry.
We'll fly you out to Vegas. We're going to go early. It's about 4 p.m.
There you go. And I'll bring you your purple jacket, too. That's how we'll do it.
Hey, listen. You haven't had Vegas brunch until you've had, or you haven't had Vegas buffet until you've had it at Momofuku.
I'm in. I'd love it. So check it out, brother. 2017 is past us. It's 2018. Amazing year. I can't believe it's 2018. Say that shit out loud, and you're like, what the fuck is it really? 2017 was a weird year. There was tons of food trends, and we'll just run through a couple of these really quick, man. I got some of this from Delish.com and, of course, from Eater.com. These are some of the big food trends, not just from culinary people or restaurants, but just kind of in general. And in 2017, and I'm afraid I think it's going to bleed over. This particular one is going to bleed over to 2018. But plant-based burgers. I mean, you can go first, brother, because I have a problem with this. Like, this is not a fucking burger, dude.
I have a lot of friends. Some of my closest friends are vegans, and with that disclaimer, I'm going to tell you real quick that no proper quote unquote vegan is trying to eat faux vegan meats. So vegan burger, no. Vegan hot dog, no. Vegan
right.
T-bone steak, no. Vegan, no. Anything that's shaped like meat and presented as meat as vegans, it's very, very contradictory by its nature. Next.
Unbelievable. Yeah, next. I agree. Next. No more. Fuck that shit. Look, you're a vegan. You don't want to eat meat. You don't need to eat tofu and beet that are formed in to be shaped like a T-bone steak. Get the fuck out of here with that shit. That's nonsense.
Yeah, that's not to say that there's anything wrong with a falafel or, you know, a nice tabbouleh. I don't know. There's a lot of things you could do with a fucking patty, but don't call it a burger.
Right, but I mean, these motherfuckers are making, they were making burgers out of it. Do you remember? I mean, everybody was posting there, look at my quinoa burger. Get the fuck out of here. Stop it. Stop it. Stupid pizza toppings was a thing. People were making dessert pizzas, putting candy corn on them for the holidays. I actually saw two pizzas. One had whole chicken wings on it, and the other one had motherfucking tacos. Like tacos, made tacos on the pizza. Just stop it. Can we just make good pizza?
Okay, okay.
Pizza was
okay.
Peasant food.
Yeah, I'm mad at that, but I also can't be super mad at that. Recently, we had some baked ziti in the refrigerator and in the glass casserole. Pyrex popped that out and actually reheated some pizza slices with the ziti in the middle, and we had like a ziti pizza sandwich here at the house. So I can't get mad. I can't get mad at fucking weirdo fucking pizza.
Oh, fuck.
Yeah, chicken wings on a pizza, bones on a pizza, definitely not. That's stupid. But,
right.
You know, as long as you, you know, I don't know, man. I kind of feel like that's like sexuality. Like you know, like whatever you guys do, in, you know, in the privacy of your own
home
is your own thing. I'm not judgmental, you know, like the universe loves everyone. Except don't, no bones.
All right, listen,
chicken wings on pizza, that's fucked up. That's no good.
Well, what if you take the chicken off? Okay, fine. But, like, don't – look, if you put bones on a pizza, it might as well be a non-functional
Well, then it's a chicken
yourself.
Wing on top of a fucking pizza. Don't tell me it's
I mean,
pizza.
How fat do we need to be? That's my question. Like, seriously? Like,
that's a rhetorical question.
All right.
I don't know.
All right. Listen, so last one. We'll do one more. Then we'll end it here with this shit. But – I think 2017 was the year of the sous vide, and clearly everyone was an expert. We're seeing it all, even from Starbucks having sous vide egg bites going on.
And those things suck, by the way.
Dude, they all suck. Like,
they suck. I tried them twice, and I was like, fucking dude, sucks. It's gross.
Sous vide is a fantastic technique, but it's just that. It's a technique. You have to work at it. You have to learn it. You can't just fucking assume you cooked one recipe sous vide at your house for your friends, and now you can sous vide cook. It's a technique. I don't think that we sous vide everything, man. What do you think?
Okay, I got a couple of points on this, Plum, and I'm gonna try to keep it brief. But man, fuck, you got my fur up now because. No, some friends of mine back in the day, like we spent a lot of time trying to like learn, teach ourselves this. And
okay. No problem with that.
I think it was probably like, I might be wrong on this, but I think it was probably like 2003 that Joan Rocha's Spanish language sous vide book came out, and I think it was probably like the year after, maybe like 2004, that the English language version came out, and we started fine-tuning stuff. And like when I say we, I mean like I was working at the Hyatt in Vancouver, but at the same time my homeboy that I worked with at the Ritz in San Francisco was working for Alain Ducasse. And at the same time, my other homeboy that I used to work wine with at the Ritz-Carlton was working with this crazy French dude that had spent about a year trying to self-learn sous vide cooking. And
right.
So we were all kind of running our respective experiments simultaneously at our various, you know, restaurants, hotels, whatever. And
wait, you worked like that actually? You had to learn the technique?
Well, of course, we were all experimenting. So you have a fucking steam table, big old fucking steam table. You start running fucking, you know, temperature probes on it and seeing if it can maintain a temperature. And then you start fucking vacuum packing and cooking things in the steam table. And for us, for an institutional cooking, it created like the thing that appealed to me for it as a chef was that I could streamline pickups of slow cooked foods and foolproof them for busy services. So, you know, if the duck leg is cooked sous vide as opposed to conventionally, then, you know, the guy can hold it in the water or hold it in the, you know, the steamer, you know, maybe it goes on the plancha, whatever. The thing is that like, they're not just killing things in a busy service. And that I liked about it a lot.
home sous vide, motherfucker, fuck you. Seriously. if you're vacuum, no, honestly, blood, if you buy an expensive fucking thing to vacuum pack something, to vacuum pack a fucking steak and, you know, drop it into a bubble bath to then cut the bag open, way to go. You're not recycling that. And then you're going to finish it conventionally, which you have to in order to make it taste like something. It's the fucking dumbest thing I've ever heard of in my life. And what I really like to do is for everybody that buys a home sous vide kit to cook a fucking steak with, I would prefer to go to their house, buy a cheap grocery store steak, dehydrate it in their refrigerator for a day or two, season it ahead of time, cook it in a fucking cast iron pan, let it rest, and then fucking slice it for them. And the simplicity involved there versus the other, I mean, it's kind of pretentious, yeah. Right?
That's it, man. That's it. Listen, and we got 2 minutes. We got 2 minutes left. I gotta do an outro. 2 minutes left.
You are never gonna get mature depth of flavor in a home sous vide cooked item that you would in a traditional braise. And if you want that deliciousness, you still need that traditional braise juice to fucking finish the thing.
No doubt about it.
So the only way that it works, institutional cooking. Yeah, well, you got me fucking worked up. Now I can't sleep.
All right. Easy. Have a drink. Smoke a blunt. Do something, brother. I'm worried about you. Yo, Chad, thank you for your time tonight, man. One of my favorite guests in the show of all time, dude. You're awesome, brother. Much love to you. I got a minute 30 left. I got to do an outro. So.
No, thank you very much, man. And thank you for the purple jacket. 5-time guest. Thank you, everybody in the world. We love you guys.
All right. There he goes. There you go. Check out truecooks.com. My man, Chad, brother. I appreciate it. Hey, listen, right now, right here, I got a minute 13 left. I want you guys all to know, big shout out to Chad. Make sure you check out truecooks.com. Chad is the man. We love him very, very much in this program. And, of course, this Friday, 8 p.m., the 2-hour Chef Tactics. If you can't check it out, you can check it out the next day on review and subscribe. We really, really, truly appreciate it. It does a lot for the algorithm. You guys have given us lots of ratings lately. Please continue to do that. It takes 2 seconds. And it does a lot for me if you've enjoyed this program. Ladies and gentlemen, wow, what a program. I could talk to Chad all night long. He is the man, dude. He is the man. Listen, my name is Chef Plum. We appreciate you checking the program out. Please remember, food is one of the most important things we have in life. Everything important in life revolves around food. Please make sure you give it the time it deserves. We'll see you Friday for the Chef-tacular at the Sun Food and Wine Fest. Peace!
I came to play. There's a price to pay. Time for you to get down on your knees. I came to play.